Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line. This is the time and this is the place and this is the moment in which we have a conversation, hopefully, and willingly and gladly about the intersection between the human and the divine, the spiritual, the religious, the faithful, perhaps even the superstitious. Give us a call at 816-576-7710 here at Religion on the Line, KCMO Talk Radio 710 AM 103.7 FM and also 1440 AM KMAJ. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary Parish in Overland Park, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And let's see if Jim can pull out a hat trick. Uh-oh. Like he did the last time, where he just mentioned what he had been doing, and then all of a sudden we took off for 2 hours of conversation. Yeah. And I'm not sure, Michael, I think it was the first ever in the show that I know that I didn't, and I don't think you got to even suggest a topic.
I think you're right, and therefore we need to get rid of him.
Yeah. See you later.
So, Michael, what is?
Have you changed professions yet, Jim?
No, not yet.
No, but he did something. This he took some days off
this week. Uh-huh. I had to take some days off just to get something done in my house. You know, like cleaning and a few other things.
For those few who may be wondering, what the heck are they talking about? Jim, who is in, obviously, because Bill is not today, does work with hospice. Which hospice program?
Catholic Community Hospice.
Uh-huh. And when we talked about it the last time Jim was on, it led to, I think, one of the most interesting and engaging and uplifting shows we've had in a very long time.
Well, I can't take credit for that. I'll just...
You're absolutely right. It was my fault.
At any rate, it was a wonderful...
We're glad you're here.
Absolutely. And this means that we're missing Bill Scholl, but we have an able person in his stead in Jim Levin. Deacon Jim, thank you for being here. So, Michael, what is on your mind this morning?
Well, a few items. Well, I don't know if you guys saw this, but in the world of archaeology, quote-unquote, this broken 27-year-old clay seal discovered in an ancient Jerusalem rubbish pit may include the name of the biblical prophet Isaiah. That is to say, they found an 8th-century seal, very small item, that they're trying to decipher because it's partially broken, but it seems as though it may say in ancient Hebrew script belonging to Isaiah the prophet. And the logic of the possibility is based on where it was found, which is in the Ophel, O-P-H-E-L, which is outside of the area near the Dung Gate in Jerusalem. And they know they found there a seal that was belonging to Hezekiah the king. And since most scholars think, whether they think there is Isaiah 1 through 4 or just Isaiah, that Isaiah was a member of the royal household. So the notion that something that would be in that dump might bear his seal is intriguing. So at the very least, it's an effort by some archaeologists not only to get some coverage in a journal, but also to say, wow, an extra biblical reference to something that I at least find it exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's quite amazing. It's the they call it the bulla, the clay impression of a seal. So.
Right. It's how documents would be known to be belonging to, or items that would have that seal on it would be the property of. You know, yeah. Not unlike a cartouche seal, you know, a signet ring in many of the movies of various kings, etc. That said, here's one that, you know, we've had some discussions, Jim, since I'm sure you're not surprised, since the shooting in Marjorie Stoneham, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Only in America. A Pennsylvania church is holding a, I'm quoting, gun blessing service.
Oh my gosh.
For congregants with AR-15s.
This has already taken place, Michael.
Oh, you knew about it?
Yeah. Huh? No.
I was stunned. Go ahead and talk some more about it.
Talk some more about it. Very interesting.
It's the Unification Sanctuary. I've never heard of it. Believes that the Book of Revelation. The article says Revelations, which tells you how accurate they can be.
Yeah, yeah.
The Book of Revelations prophecy that Christ will return to earth and rule with, quote, a rod of iron, clearly refers to the popular assault rifle. This is a quote from church leader Tim Elder. The rod of iron is the AR-15 in today's terms, says church leader Tim Eider. Oy vey.
Right. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. And did you see who is the co-sponsor of the event?
I'm going to guess they have initials.
No. They're all out about this. This is the, I think it's World Peace and Unification Sanctuary. There's a tip-off for you. This is Sun Young Moon's son, two sons.
Boy, I haven't heard about them in a while.
Right. And this Sun Young Moon's other son, Justin Moon, owns a gun manufacturing company, Car Arms, based in Greeley, Pike County. And it was a co-sponsor of the event.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up, can you? You know? Unbelievable.
I'd love to think it fits into Only in America, but the world has this kind of insanity everywhere.
Well, you remember the movie Beneath the Planet of the Apes, when Charlton Heston discovers the remnants, people who are worshiping a bomb that will destroy the entire planet. Spoiler alert, who haven't seen the 1970-something movie. But
now I'm not going to see it.
But it's like it's life imitating art here.
Right.
All these years later. Golly. You know, you said Pennsylvania. You know, I'm thinking about the time I lived in West Virginia, and the first thing I remember hearing in the news is that another person had died in some church in the hollers from playing with poisonous snakes.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I moved back to Kansas, my home state, and I heard of this thing called Westboro. So, and it's just, like you say, you can't make all this stuff up.
Yeah. There are times when all of us go off some kind of deep end, but boy, wow. So you want a few more?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So this was taken from an article that was in this week's Wall Street Journal, and the headline is "That Lenten Diet for God or for You?"
Mm.
I probably think the answer is yes. But do either of you guys give up? Any particular food item, or do you have a give-up tradition with regard to Lent?
Well, an offer-up is what I'd say. Some little sacrifice. It's not intended to lose weight or anything like that. Not to say that I don't need to, but it's just something that deprived myself just to enter into that experience of the 40 days in the desert.
Are you comfortable saying what it is time around?
This time around, I'm trying to avoid or limit to one a day coffee or anything with caffeine in it, because I think it has been something that I've been overly enjoying, and I wanted to see, can I do that?
Uh-huh. Bob, do you go in that
you know,
direction or not?
We're Protestant, so you know, we kind of always do it with a twist.
Do we need to explain Lent?
No. Yeah. The other thing is, no, you don't need to explain it to a Protestant. And a Protestant would say, and Catholics would, I think, reinforce this as well, is that there's the side of the aisle that gives up something, but there's also the side of the aisle that takes on something new. And so the way to do it is you take on a discipline of drinking less coffee so that you can be healthier. It's taking on a discipline so that there's not so much caffeine in your system, but also so that your acuity is better, you're less frazzled, you're calmer, whatever. In addition, you know, you don't give up. Giving up chocolate and dieting is not a Lenten discipline. That's the shallowest end of the pool for Lent.
And the health benefit part of it is secondary. It's more of that offering.
Yeah.
And like you said, people have and can do both. They maybe give up something, but then they take something new on, a new virtue that they haven't been practicing.
And I emphasize the taking on Not as secondary, however, Jim, sorry, but less the sacrificial part. What could I sacrifice? I mean, literally, really. I mean, I can give up a bunch of stuff. Will it really impinge my being? I'm still one of the wealthiest human beings on the face of the planet as a North American white male. I have incredible advantage. I have incredible gifts that come to me somehow, some way. What do I do with those things? How do I leverage that into, do I pray more? Do I study the Bible more?
If you're praying more, then you're sacrificing some of your free time.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's such a gift. It's kind of like, Michael, you know this. Jim, you know this too. Who really benefits as you prepare a sermon? Eventually the congregation will benefit, but the blessing is in the preparation. It is a gift to prepare a sermon spiritually for this person. So, hey, we'll get into more of that. And the difference between Catholics and Protestants during Lent, I still enjoy a good fish fry, as I did this last Friday. And we will talk about so many more things, including Billy Graham and his funeral. So do give us a call, 576-7710. We're going to take a break right quick.
Things seem great for stocks and bonds. President Trump's pro-business agenda is great for the economy. So what could possibly go wrong? Hi, my name is Chris Butler, portfolio manager at Butler, Lands & Wagler, and host of the radio show Free Market Underground. Stocks and bonds were both flirting with very high valuations by the time Donald Trump even took office. That wasn't due to a thriving economy, but money printing designed to goose up financial asset prices. Now we actually have an improving economy. But because of that, interest rates have started to rise. And stocks and bonds won't like that if it continues. What does that mean for investors? Well, it means that we simply need to be aware of the risks. Maybe stocks and bonds continue to make new highs. That's why we have to participate in these markets. But we also have to know the risks and how to manage them. To read more about that, go to investontrack.com and download the free report. Again, that's investontrack.com.
It's Auto Show time in KC. Time for a first-hand look at the award-winning Honda lineup. Like Accord, the 2018 North American Car of the Year. And CR-V, Motor Trend's 2018 SUV of the Year. Other award winners include Civic, HR-V, Fit, and Pilot. And right now, get Pilot with 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers at your Greater Kansas City area Honda dealer. For details, visit kchondadealers.com today.
The 2018 Motor Trend SUV of the Year includes the full Honda CR-V lineup. See dealer for financing details.
Pope Francis once said that confession is the sacrament of the tenderness of God. It is his way of embracing us. This is Archbishop Joseph Naumann inviting you to experience God's tender embrace through the sacrament of reconciliation. During Lent, confession will be available in the churches of the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Experience God's embrace. Come to confession.
Families are discovering a better way to vacation on Tripping.com. One search on Tripping.com lets you filter, compare, and sort homes from the world's top vacation rental sites, so you'll always find the best deal. From furnished beach houses to cozy ski lodges, lakefront cabins to luxury condos in major cities, Tripping.com has them all. Vacation rentals offer more. More privacy, more space for everyone under one roof, and more choices. With fully stocked kitchens, extra bedrooms, and even hot tubs. All the comforts of home, and then some. Best of all, at Tripping.com you'll find more savings, with rates up to 80% less than traditional hotel rooms. Planning your family's spring break to Florida? Tripping.com. Can't wait to visit Lake Tahoe this summer? Tripping.com. Dreaming of a cabin in the Smoky Mountains? Tripping.com. This year, get out of the hotel room and into the vacation home of your dreams with Tripping.com/family. That's TRIPPING.com/family. Find your perfect vacation rental on Tripping.com.
The legacy of Italy is filled with a passion for wonderful food.
This is Chef Gaspar Mirabile. Shake off the chill in the air in the warm, welcoming atmosphere of Jasper's Ristorante. We're serving up amazing dishes like tortellacci pasta served in a Tuscan pork ragu. Imagine a double-cut pork chop served with a porcini mushroom sauce and Kansas City's finest pork shank slow roasted for 6 hours and served ossobuco style with risotto. Or try one of the classics like pumpkin ravioli, cappellini d'angelo alla nonni, Tuscan bean soup, veal limonata, and more.
And just in time for Lent, New Orleans charbroiled oysters. Fresh oysters charbroiled with herbed garlic, butter, and Romano cheese. Jasper's, 103rd and State Line. For reservations, call 816-941-6600.
There's always a place at our table for you.
From the flyover states and proud of it, KCMO 710 and FM 103.7 Kansas City.
How about a little Sunday sermon by Booker T and the MGs? I did some learning, Rick Turner, our Cracker Jack producer, since the last time you played that. Good morning, You've Got Religion on the Line, to the wonderful strains of Booker T and the MGs' wonderful Sunday sermon. You've Got Religion on the Line here at 710 AM, 103.7 FM, KCMO Talk Radio, as well as KMAJ, 1440 AM. Welcome, Topeka. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary in Overland Park, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And we are here and thankful also, Jim, that your friend and ours, Bill Scholl, though he could not be here, saw fit to have you here. Thank you.
I'm very grateful. Thank you, Bill.
And, Michael, you were just getting warmed up about your items.
Yeah, well this article about that had that headline, Is That Lenten Diet for God or for You? And I loved Jim's suggestion that it was an offering up rather than a giving up. I think that's a wonderful corrective for anybody who's engaged in some religious discipline, whether it be at a particular season or in all seasons, you know. So here, just a few little liftings in this article. Everyone thinks Lent is for suffering. I used to think like that too, said this person who went on a diet. Lent, the period between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, is a time for people of many Christian religious traditions to fast, pray, and serve others in preparation for Easter. And then it talks about different churches suggest different practices. But here's the best one, I thought. Fasting doesn't always have to be about food, says Pete Barak, director of, and have you guys heard of this, I.D.9:16, ID 916, does that,
is
that
not
a,
at all.
A youth no. ministry, it's some kind of reference, obviously.
Okay. No, I have not heard of it.
No biblical thing comes to mind right away? Or
ID 916,
yeah.
Don't
ID, I.D.9:16. It's got to be a reference to something. But he came up with a short video listing 18 things young people could give up during Lent, some whimsical, some not. I thought this was fantastic, which is why I kept this article. Among them, eye rolling.
I love it.
Extra guacamole. Snacking after 10. Holding grudges. Earbuds in public.
This is not just for young people. This is
no,
for every
you're
adults.
Not kidding.
Yeah. Wow.
But I just thought if folks would perchance have some item or notion of their own Lenten tradition, practice, discipline, whatever the case may be, and how it helps, impacts, gets them ready, which is presumably the whole point, is it not?
Right. Well, when Lent begins on Ash Wednesday, the gospel reading is always from Matthew chapter 6, and it talks about the three aspects of the season. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand in the synagogues and on street corners. And then when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites who neglect their appearance to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
So those three aspects are part of the Lenten season. And so when you asked, if you don't mind telling, I kind of took that to heart because I was hesitant because I really haven't told that many people what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, I'm not doing it perfectly. And, you know, I'm not going to beat myself up over that, but this reminds me that how much of an attachment I have. And that's the key word there, is attachment. What are we attached to
mm-hmm.
that separates us from an intimate relationship with God?
This is what I'm talking about right here. He just named it perfectly. If you are giving up something, what you get in terms of a relationship with God is so much more that you're taking on, as it were. So the sacrifice to me is, while it may have a little bit of impact on me and may cause me to give up time or money or certain foodstuffs, the benefits, the graces of the practice of that are so overwhelming. And it's a gift that you give yourself.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm saying, in all humility, I mean, I'm not sure that I sacrifice anything during Lent so much as I get an opportunity to reinvest in my faith and also to be re-blessed by certain practices.
I think we're saying the same thing. I think it's we have that goal in mind that's not particularly the means, such as fasting or sacrificing. It is this goal of clearing out the cobwebs of our soul, so to speak, to re-energize that relationship with God.
Understood. That which does bring to mind, this was in a review, a book review, and it's quoting Pat Conroy. Some of us know that novelist. What's the famous novel that made him?
The Prince of Tides, was that it?
That's it. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So this is from a memoir he wrote called My Losing Season. He went to the Citadel, the military academy.
South Carolina, right.
Yeah. And the team managed only an 8-17 performance. But the win-loss record was beside the point, not least for spectators. Now here's the quote from Conroy. What a good thing it is to go to games. What strange joy is felt as you leave the flatness of your daily life, the fatigue of routine, and the killing sameness of jobs to move among thousands toward a brightly lit field house at night. Mm. And I thought, how sad. Bob is very much aware that one of the things that I'm both fascinated about doing writing on and is that there's no such thing as the dreary routine, the fatigue of routine. Viewed appropriately, it's a religious highlight if one puts it in a frame that is, I only live from big moment to big moment, and everything else is just waiting for the next big moment.
One of the things, Michael, you point out right now that is a discipline for all kinds of Christians on all kinds of on either sides of several aisles is the practice of reading a particular book. In congregations across the globe, I suppose, but certainly here in the U.S., Protestant congregations and Catholic congregations will pick one particular book, say by Richard Rohr or Pope John Paul II or whoever it might be, and they will then, in a disciplined fashion, have a 6-week study of that or a 7-week study. Or they'll begin it now, and it'll go all year long.
Does the community have that tradition?
Yes. At community, they have it right now. And do not ask me the title of the book. I think I can find it out.
I'm sure you can, but as opposed to, why doesn't he know, I understand completely, because as the Rabbi Emeritus of Emmanuel Congregation here in Chicago, I try assiduously to not be intimately engaged.
There we go.
It's important.
Yeah, we're going to stop being intimately engaged right now for a break and pay some bills. We'll be right back after these messages.
From Virginia to Maine, they're beginning to recover after 2 days of pummeling from a nor'easter that brought strong winds and lots of snow and rain. NOAA meteorologist Patrick Burke says the storm is gone, but the effects are still being felt.
Primarily, it's at this point, the gusty winds are not quite so severe as they were yesterday, but they're still hampering any sort of efforts to repair damage that was done. And then the coastal flooding continues. Precipitation has all dissipated with the storm. There might be a few passing showers, but nothing significant.
The afterglow of the Winter Olympics continues to affect decisions on the Korean Peninsula. South Korea said today that a high-level delegation will travel to North Korea tomorrow for 2 days of talks. Historians may look back at tomorrow as the day China began its return to a dictatorship. The country's rubber-stamped National People's Congress is expected to approve a change to the Constitution eliminating term limits on the presidency. I'm Christopher Cruz.
KCTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
Rain chances moving in for your Sunday, starting off this morning, then falling off during the afternoon, but picking back up again during the evening, which is when we could have an isolated strong storm. Temperatures in the upper 50s today with a mainly cloudy sky. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Dan the Tailor Man has the best suits in Kansas City at the best prices, hands down. Dan the Tailor Man gives you free alterations for life, and you get free ties for life, too. Dan the Tailor Man specializes in homecoming suits as well as wedding suits and any other suit that might, well, suit you. Don't rent a suit that you can buy for the same price. Keep the suit. Call Dan the Tailor Man today, 913-541-1192. That's 913-541-1192. Why don't you call him today?
KCMO Talk Radio proudly supports the Great Plains SBCA Patini 2018 Academy Awards at the Paparazzi. Come dressed as your favorite nominee on the red carpet Saturday, March 24th at the Kansas City Marriott downtown. Relax at the open bar, enjoy delicious food, bid on fabulous silent and live auction items, and learn more about the Great Plains SBCA. The Paparazzi will be waiting to take pictures of guests in their glamorous outfits, and kittens will be ready to snuggle in the kitten lounge. Purchase tickets at greatplainsspca.org.
In today's ever-changing digital advertising world, knowing how to reach your potential customers and be top of mind can be confusing. We are here to help. Cumulus Radio has personalized local marketing solutions to make digital advertising easy. Go to cumulusdigital.com. Find out how we can help you with social media management, search engine SEO and SEM, email marketing, geo-targeted mobile ads, and much more. We will help you generate leads, find new customers, build awareness, and drive more profit. Contact us today at cumulusdigital.com.
Think about it. The minimum wage helps some, but it hurts others.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Tawny Ferrarini.
What is seen is that the minimum wage helps those folks who successfully land and keep jobs at the lawful wage rate. These folks are fortunate. They benefit. Let's look at the not so fortunate. They are the somewhat invisible people who are ready, willing, and able to work. Unfortunately, they can't find a job. The artificially set minimum wage is too high for them to get hired. They are the teens, unskilled workers, inner-city laborers with no formal job history, and parents re-entering the workforce after raising children. And don't forget the mom-and-pop businesses in our local neighborhoods. Consumers, online shoppers, and their competitors won't let them raise prices to cover the minimum wages they must pay the inexperienced and the unskilled.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Who should decide whether or not a worker's wage can be withheld for political purposes? You would think it would be the worker.
This is the Free Market Minute with Tim Jones.
An upcoming Supreme Court decision will impact all government employees thanks to Mr. Janice, an Illinois state worker. Under current law, public sector unions force government workers to pay union dues, whether the worker belongs to the union or not. The court will decide whether compulsory public sector union dues are unconstitutional. Mr. Janice has argued that forcibly taking union dues from him as a non-union member is a violation of his constitutional right to free speech because any money paid to a government union is automatically political speech. Government workers like Mr. Janice have grown tired of their wages directed by unions for political activities, which he and millions of workers like him find objectionable. If Mr. Janice is victorious, it will be a victory for worker freedom from sea to shining sea.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
This is where Kansas City comes to talk. KCMO Talk Radio 710. Now it's even easier to get to what Kansas City is talking about on your Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, enable the KCMO 710 AM skill. After that, it's just play KCMO 710 AM anytime you want to listen.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and also KMAJ 1440 AM. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary Parish in Overland Park, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And Michael, during the break, we were talking about one of the places that Jim used to live, which was in West Virginia. And I recalled to him, or recollected, that the motto for our show came originally kind of from Charleston, West Virginia. You'll remember.
Yep.
One time when I was calling in, I said, hey, this quote outside the Pope John the 23rd Pastoral Center sure sounds like us. Let us look at each other without mistrust. Let us meet each other without fear. Let us talk with each other without surrendering principle, which I believe was his prelude, entree into an introduction to or welcome to the Second Vatican Council. And that's what we've tried to do here. So a little bit of West Virginia right here in Kansas City.
Oh, it is almost heaven.
You mean it's almost like
there were actually, I don't know if you remember, there were protests when they wanted to do that on license plates.
Yes. I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, are the teachers going back to work?
They're still on strike, I think.
Yeah, I think they're still on strike. It's pretty ugly there right now. I have still friends there that send me things on Facebook.
Well, at any rate, a few more items?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's. I wonder, given the increasing popularity of genealogical sampling and tracing your ancestry, all that sort of stuff, this is a scientific publication just succeeded in putting out that scientists have turned the yearning for roots into family trees. Into a family tree encompassing millions of people related through centuries of marriage and migration across Europe and North America using genealogical information posted online by consumers searching for relatives. They have an enormous database that may very well surpass even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints base in Salt Lake City. But I'm curious if anyone in our listening audience has done one of these genetic screening things and how it might have impacted their connections, their feelings, their faith, their community of faith, etc. I'm just not, oh my gosh, excited about the whole thing, and I'd love to know what some folks have felt was a real benefit, not about health profiles.
Okay.
What about where you're from?
Well, you've come to the right person in Jim Levin, right here.
Well, I just got back my DNA results through that organization, that online website that actually is run by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I believe, or at least owned by them. And it's interesting. I've been doing genealogy in our family for quite some time. And recently, on my own, I have discovered that there is another branch of Lavins that I always thought we were related to.
The wealthy ones.
I don't know. But they were living in Illinois, and I thought if it were true, there would be scandal, because it would be about a great grandfather who left his family in Illinois and came to Parsons, Kansas, and started a new family, which was our family, a very small family of Lavins, and the DNA test proved it.
Oh, wow.
There is a person from that clan in Illinois that I am related to. Going back. So, and I think there's some relatives who've now since passed who knew this but never talked about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's always some kind of secrecy about this past, and now I'm starting to see why. Maybe they didn't want to talk about it. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and my grandfather died when my dad was very young, so there wasn't a lot to pass on. And he was an only child because it was an older marriage.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it didn't change anything in terms of how I feel about my ancestors, but it's just kind of interesting to know that there's other Lavins out there that I'm not I am related to. But.
Jim, Michael, we may have a caller who has called in about that. We'll see you right here. How about that? All
okay.
right. Alan, you've got religion on the line.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Well, Alan.
Good. I have a question that came to mind with the death of Billy Graham, and that relates to the role of God during the course of our life. I remember as a youth being scared to death of Billy Graham's teaching of chastisement. In other words, if you sway away from what one is supposed to do, you're chastised, which assumes that, I guess, if you are well-behaved, good things happen. And as I have gone through my life, I follow much more the principle that we are to be in the world, but we're not of the world, meaning that, you know, human suffering is not created by God, but that it's something we endure, and we look forward to the joy that comes once we're reunited with God. I'd really love your comments on that contrast.
Hmm. Well, nothing like a real shallow end of the pool question. You know, Alan, you've just come up with, you know, close to the biggest conundrum for people who attempt to connect with God in their practices and daily lives and in their traditions. So Michael knows the answer to this question, so we'll let him go first.
No, actually, I'm going to defer, guys.
Yeah.
You guys can jump in.
Absolutely. I'm joking, of course.
Yeah, I know. I know.
The notion that you do good stuff and you'll be blessed, and that if you choose wrongly, God will punish you, is one of the worst notions ever that throws God under the bus, makes God into a monster, and is just kind of reprehensible theology.
And I don't know, did Billy Graham really teach that?
No, but Alan experienced something
as a
result of looking at Billy Graham or watching him on television. Did you ever go to a crusade moment? By the way,
no, Alan? No, but he actively preached the notion of chastisement for behavior.
Yeah. I think what he did preach was you had a choice and that you needed to choose pretty much his way. And in the earlier days of his evangelizing, it really was, if you're not a Christian, you're going to burn in hell. If you're not a Christian who has absolutely confessed their sins, claim their sinfulness, and then receive the forgiveness of God through Christ, any other way, like his son Franklin preached at his funeral, which was dismaying to me, in a moment that could have been healing, was still divisive. And some, to just be very frank, for some, that was a responsible moment on Franklin Graham's part to really show the consequences of one's life and one's decisions, and that he did it out of caring. Yeah, I'd rather not be cared for like that, because I'm almost certain that Franklin Graham might not even view me as a Christian, given our difference of interpretation of the gospel. And
that message that Franklin preached was exactly why this issue came back up in my mind.
Okay, I didn't know if it had prompted you that way.
Yes.
But I will say the latter years of Billy Graham's life did not echo as a whole to me the tenor of his edgy, you call it chastisement, he would probably have called it a gospel challenge, of his earlier years of ministry. There was a softening, there was a gracefulness, there was a an inclusiveness, actually, so, and a humility. The one thing that I do want to say that is also regrettable theology is at anybody's funeral to then say, they're now with God. Well, you could say they're now with God in a new way. They're now with God in a miraculous mystery. They're now with God in a way that we can hardly comprehend. They weren't without God when they were breathing air and being a human being that was alive upon the earth. They were with God. This is not a pet peeve of mine. This is a basic theological foundational commitment. That was, to me, one of the lesser moments in Franklin Graham's understanding. Now, and I understand the common vernacular or the nomenclature of they're now with God, meaning I'm so glad I have peace in knowing that they're in God's eternal loving embrace. But that embrace was now, too. It's embracing Jim. It's embracing Rick. It's embracing Michael. It's embracing me now.
This side of heaven, it is through a veil that is hard to see.
We see through a glass darkly. No problem there. Jim, you want to add something? I'm sure that'll be better than what I've just said.
Well, no. I thought what you said was very good. I think that I kept thinking when you talk about this chastisement and living the right life, I keep thinking of the various prosperity gospel teachers that are very prominent today. And I never thought of Billy Graham as a prosperity gospel teacher.
I don't think he was. No.
But that's kind of what they teach. I mean, if you do good,
you'll be blessed. And therefore, and also it's a kind of vilification of the poor almost always. If you're poor, you've done something horribly morally wrong.
And God doesn't love you.
Yeah. Anyway, Alan, we thank you for your call again, and we hope you have a good day.
Thank you. You guys take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a break, pay some bills. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Auto Show time in KC. Time for a first-hand look at the award-winning Honda lineup. Like Accord, the 2018 North American Car of the Year. And CR-V, Motor Trend's 2018 SUV of the Year. Other award winners include Civic, HR-V, Fit, and Pilot. And right now, get Pilot with 0.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers at your greater Kansas City area Honda dealer. For details, visit kchondadealers.com today. The 2018 Motor Trend SUV of the Year includes the full Honda CR-V lineup. See dealer for financing details.
Pope Francis once said that confession is the sacrament of the tenderness of God. It is his way of embracing us. This is Archbishop Joseph Naumann inviting you to experience God's tender embrace through the sacrament of reconciliation. During Lent, confession will be available in the churches of the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. Experience God's embrace. Come to confession.
Hi, I'm Lisa Fox. If you're stuck in a dead-end job and want a better-paying, challenging position, you can change your life, change your career at the Cumulus Job Fair, Tuesday, March 6th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Union Station. We'll have some of the area's most sought-after employers on site accepting in-person applications. So come dressed to impress with plenty of copies of your resume to the Cumulus Job Fair, March 6th at Union Station. Visit kcjobfair.com for more information.
If you are a baby boomer, we've designed a retirement show specifically for you. The Retirement Income Doctor, Mark Falter. Mark Falter is known as one of the top retirement minds in the country, and we've got him every Sunday morning at 9 and afternoon at 2.
Families are discovering a better way to vacation on Tripping.com. One search on Tripping.com lets you filter, compare, and sort homes from the world's top vacation rental sites, so you'll always find the best deal. From furnished beach houses to cozy ski lodges, lakefront cabins to luxury condos in major cities, Tripping.com has them all. Vacation rentals offer more privacy, more space for everyone under one roof, and more choices, with fully stocked kitchens, extra bedrooms, and even hot tubs. All the comforts of home, and then some. Best of all, at Tripping.com you'll find more savings, with rates up to 80% less than traditional hotel rooms. Planning your family's spring break to Florida? Tripping.com. Can't wait to visit Lake Tahoe this summer? Tripping.com. Dreaming of a cabin in the Smoky Mountains? Tripping.com. This year, get out of the hotel room and into the vacation home of your dreams with Tripping.com/family. That's TRIPPING.com/family. Find your perfect vacation rental on Tripping.com.
Think about it. The minimum wage helps some, but it hurts others.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Tawny Ferrarini.
What is seen is that the minimum wage helps those folks who successfully land and keep jobs at the lawful wage rate. These folks are fortunate. They benefit. Let's look at the not so fortunate. They are the somewhat invisible people who are ready, willing, and able to work. Unfortunately, they can't find a job. The artificially set minimum wage is too high for them to get hired. They are the teens, unskilled workers, inner-city laborers with no formal job history, and parents re-entering the workforce after raising children. And don't forget the mom-and-pop businesses in our local neighborhoods. Consumers, online shoppers, and their competitors won't let them raise prices to cover the minimum wages they must pay the inexperienced and the unskilled.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Tweens have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through, like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, Alexa, play KCMO 710 AM.
Sure, here you go.
Now it's even easier to get to what Kansas City is talking about on your Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, enable the KCMO 710 AM skill. After that, it's just play KCMO 710 AM anytime you want to listen.
Smack dab in the heart of the USA. KCMO 710 and FM 103.7 Kansas City.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah.
We're not in Charleston, but we appreciate the fact that Jim Lavin is from West Virginia.
No, I am from Kansas.
but I used to live in West Virginia.
Spent a decade and we
in West Virginia.
Gave birth to our second son in West Virginia.
All right.
KCMO Jim, there's no shame in being from West Virginia now. Come on.
KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and KMAJ, 1440 AM. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus at Community Christian Church, along with
Deacon Jim Lavin from Queen of the Holy Rosary in Overland Park, Kansas.
And along with?
Got you thrown off there, eh? Right. Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda.
And, Michael, do you have any other topics?
I do have a couple of more items.
All right, go.
There was this news article, Vatican Magazine decries nuns, N-U-N-S, apostrophe servitude. It's a relatively new magazine, the March edition of Women Church World, that the article says Pope reads regularly. It suggested that there's an unhealthy exploitation of nun service to priests in their service to the church. I don't know, did you see this at one by any chance, Jim?
No, I didn't. I've read a few things from that over the years, but not recently.
Its expose on the underpaid labor and unappreciated intellect of religious sisters confirmed the magazine is increasingly becoming the imprint of the Catholic Church's Me Too movement. Everything is made into contretemps, I guess. And then in Iceland, there's a major challenge in terms of whether they will outlaw male circumcision. Set to become the first European country to ban male circumcision for non-medical reasons, prompting fears among Jewish and Muslim leaders the new law will contravene religious freedom. One of the few pleasing things in this article is that the imam, and I presume he's an imam in Iceland, Salman Tamimi, called the ban an attack on all religion, especially Judaism.
Wow.
That piece is worth the article, even as one would assume, just as we're having challenge in our own country, that you need to find what are the appropriate religious carve-out exceptions to various items when such matters are viewed by the larger public to be problematic for them as opposed to for all. I got one other item. And I suspect that some regular listeners might be surprised at my response. This is Dateline Miami, and it's about a teacher at a private Catholic, well, by definition, I don't know why they say private Catholic school. It's a Catholic school, therefore it's a private school, correct?
Correct. It's redundant.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was fired because quote unquote lesbian teacher who got married, and the marriage was on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. And the fascinating thing is the protests about her being fired, because it would seem to me, despite the fact that I would certainly understand myself to be a religious liberal, that you can't be surprised that when one is teaching in an institution that is religiously sponsored, that there would be some expectation that you comply with the expectations of that community.
And if I remember right, in that story, they didn't have the church school didn't have a problem with her being a lesbian. It's when she made public her
marriage. She was known to be, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's they signed that in their contract, and they shouldn't be surprised if they break the contract. Things are not going to go well. And if it were a public school, she'd have a case. But being a private school, you know, that's anyway. This story has happened over and over again over the last 10 years.
Right.
So it's nothing new, and it's already been shown in court that they have no case, but the protests always happen, and so be it. In this country, you can protest.
But I do think we've got that it's a good it's an example of how we need to find some room in this society for all of us to say X, but where do those who say not X have the right and room, and that's not going to be solved today, that's for sure, but it is one of the ongoing challenges of our culture, to the extent that one could call it a culture.
Well, there's another religion that might espouse certain views that will be talked about, I believe, tonight. It'll be having its annual religious celebration of themselves. In Tinseltown,
it will be a you know, it is the film world's Super Bowl, and it is a it'll be interesting to see what wins for Best Picture among the 10 nominees. We haven't even weighed into this, have we?
No. We were waiting for your major moment.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Sorry, I jumped the gun.
No. We can do part of this before we go to a break, but I will say, I think the toss-up for Best Picture is between Three Billboards outside of Abilene, Missouri, The Shape of Water, and Get Out. And it's because of the voting system that if a movie does not get 50.01% of the votes, it cannot win. So they drop off the bottom movie and then divide those second and third place votes of the bottom one that got dropped off among the others. So then it accrues until they get a winner.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we'll be back with predictions about the Oscars tonight and a bunch of other stuff that really are religious, okay? Here at Religion on the Line, do give us a call, 576-7710.
Come to the Greater Kansas City Auto Show now through March 4th over at Bartle Hall. Hang out in the Honda Lounge with TVs set up for you to watch the game and take a look at some of the latest Honda lineups. Check out some of the newest and upcoming vehicles and see some classic builds. Tickets for the Auto Show on sale now. KCAutoShow.com. $11 a ticket and going fast. More details on the website or at KCAutoShow.com.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Update your bathroom with American Standard. The Chancellor Bath Faucet in a brushed nickel finish is $60.52 after 11% off. And the Lincroft Widespread Bath Faucet, also in a brushed nickel finish, is $96.12 after 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards, your home improvement store. Good through March 10th. 11% savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
KCMO AM 710 Kansas City. 101.1 FM KCFX HD2 Harrisonville. From the heartland of America.
This is KCMO.